Hi, and welcome to Season 6, Episode 4 of Alice in Wonderland. I'm Vic Philipson in a gray and rainy Kristiansand, Norway.
And I'm Alice Morrison in a hot and windy Saudi Arabia.
With funny audio, there's nothing we can do about it. We'll do the best we can today. You have to tell about why we're calling. We're kind of an unusual recording time for us. We are 2 hours ahead of what we had intended. But why is that, Alice?
Well, as you know, signal can be very intermittent on the route. We were going to try and record yesterday because I had great signal, and then it all went Pete Tong, or went wrong. And today we've had to stop because we have encountered a problem. Or not a problem, but we're trying to solve an issue we have. So we've stopped in a kind of a green area in between two roads. Because basically what's happened is, and those of you who heard stage one of the expedition will know that Lulu had a problem with her leg on stage one because she bashed it. But on this stage, her feet are sore, or it seems to be her feet. It's either her feet or her leg again. Nothing's happened to her, and she's been taken care of so well. But she's limping. We tried to make her a shoe yesterday.
Yeah.
And oh my God, my top tip for anyone is never try and put a homemade shoe on a camel.
It sounds like a difficult proposition, perhaps a fool's errand.
It was a fool's errand. There were four men trying to rock this camel onto her side so they could get her leg. And a camel is a big animal, and she doesn't know what's going on, and she knows everybody wishes her well, but she's still scared. So these great big long camel legs are, flailing out all over the place. The men are risking life and limb. I've taken the easy way out, and I'm just filming it all for posterity. But eventually what they were trying to do was get her on her side, bring her leg out, and put on this shoe that we'd stitched. We found a rucksack on the, out in the desert, and a piece of elastic, and we'd cut a shoe for her. Abu Ahmed, our cameleer, had cut a shoe for her, and then I'd hemmed it, we'd put the elastic through, then I sewed up the back, all, sewing lessons at St. Denis and Cranley Academy for young ladies, came in very handy. And then they had to get the shoe on her and pull the drawstring tight. So what happened eventually was she really wouldn't roll over. There was pushing, there was lots of dialogue like this: push towards me, no pull, no push. Lots of sand being kicked up and lots of camel roaring. I hasten to add, she wasn't in pain. It was just a fan ankle. And then finally, couldn't get her on her side, but Abu Sarir, who's our cook and vehicle driver, he is really nifty, and he managed to kind of dodge in between her legs, pull out one, and stick the shoe on. And we were all like, yeah, the shoe's on, the shoe's on, the shoe's on. She stood up and kicked it off straight away.
Oh boy.
She literally stood up, shook her leg, and the shoe went flying.
Well, if her foot already hurt, she probably does not want anybody fussing with her feet.
Well, she probably doesn't. We've just been rubbing olive oil and salt into her pad now. But basically what's happened is we've come to, Alan, our navigator, does all the planning up front, but you don't know what the route's going to be like till you're on it. Right. You just don't. And so we've come to a part where ahead it's very up and down. So it's down steep wadi hills down, steep wadi hills up. Very slippy, so that is not good for camels at the best of times, but we're not going to risk it with Lulu. So what we'd have to get a truck, like a van or a truck, to bus her through this area. So what we thought we'll do is, because she is limping, she's not limping, actually, that's not true. She's when she stands, she puts her foot up, she's resting it. And if she comes to a very stony part, she really complains and is like, I don't want to go through that. Wah, wah, wah. Or something earlier, she was trying to couch, to lie down. So we're going to give her 3 days. We're going to bus her 40 kilometers ahead. Give her 3 days of rest, because we have one rest day coming up and two more walking days. So give her 3 days of rest, and then we will catch up with her.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is the best. Abu Ahmed is such a good camel tier. Honestly, he really is taking such beautiful care of her. I've got not a single complaint, and he really knows what he's doing. You know, when you see an expert working at what they do, you can tell very easily. And he really does. He, of course, he's worried about his place on the expedition. He's worried about the camels. He doesn't really want to be separated and go and stay in somebody else's camp for 3 nights. So he's a bit discombobulated, which I totally understand. And we also have to face the fact that she might not be able to go on.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, we'll then have to make decisions, which I don't really want to think about. I love Lulu and I love Juicy, and having them with us makes it, you know, it adds such a lot to our expedition. But we'll see what happens, because at this stage we're finding, I think, a kind of a solution for now and a test, and then we'll see how we go. But it's not great, is it? It's not my feet, it's the camel feet.
Right. It's somebody's feet every time.
Yeah, every time.
You must be making pretty good time, because you've passed Taif. Is that right?
Yes, we did.
So when last we spoke, you said you would be in the area, and you have gone beyond. So did you make really good time?
We are making very good time. I mean, you know, we've set ourselves a half a marathon a day, and we're kind of exceeding that. But it is a long journey. So we're on day 28, 26th day of walking. So I've done 26 half marathons, which, you know, we're doing it really well. We're up, we leave early. We've got great food. We've got really good camaraderie. I mean, it's gorgeous. I love walking in this kind of countryside. It's varied. There's desert, there's Harra, there's black volcanic rock, there are mountains. There are people, you know, that we've met lots and lots of herders. I mean, it's a thrill to me. You know, you're walking along and suddenly out of the sand, you see all these camels running towards you. And then this imposing figure riding his camel over, the herdsman. I mean, for me, it's exciting and beautiful. So I'm really enjoying it. And I've still got no blisters, Vic.
Fantastic.
I know. Fantastic. It makes all the difference in the world. I have to tell you, it does.
Well, what have you seen that was interesting the last 2 weeks?
We've seen absolutely loads. So again, I'm doing this kind of, I'm alternating a week on the blog and a week on the podcast. So if you haven't read the blog yet, go and have a look at it, alicemorrison.co.uk blog, where I talk about walking along Darb Zubaydah, which is named after a woman who did a lot of, she was in 750, the common era. She went on a pilgrimage herself. She was Muslim. And she was the wife of one of the most famous caliphs of all time, Harun al-Rashid. And so she went on pilgrimage. It was miserable for her, totally miserable. So when she came back from pilgrimage, she went from Iraq, which is where the caliphate was based. And so when she got back, she decided to endow the route she'd gone on with water. So she built wells, she built rest stops, she built, you know, artificial lakes, if you like to call them that, places that pilgrims could rest and have a much better experience. So, and that was in 750, what we used to call AD, and which is now called Common Era, CE. And we're walking along and still seeing those wells, which is amazing. So that was before we got to Taif. That was wonderful. Now and that's all in the blog, but now we've left Taif, and actually we had a rest day and went into the city, drove in. What a fantastic city. It's famous for its roses, but it's not the season. And also, I've driven there before. I drove there when I did my big trip across Saudi on my own in the car. And it's got this incredible escarpment with the monkeys. But this time we went into the city. It was Friday, which of course is prayer day. And kind of, you know, the holiday. And in the evening, we went to the souk. And it was absolutely wonderful. So it's a proper old-fashioned open-air souk. And they're selling all sorts of things, like, you know, shoes and bags and dates and olive oil and wild honey and henna and everything you can imagine. And everyone is out. So everyone's out in their Friday best. So the, you know, Saudi men look immaculate in their white thobes and their red and white headscarves. The Saudi woman looks stunning in their black abayas. And then the guest workers, because there are lots of guest workers here, are all in their most smartly pressed clothes. Often, you know, the shall wear Kameez style long shirt and baggy trousers from different areas of South Asia. And everyone's out to have a good time. The families are out, the single people are out, and it's such a nice atmosphere. You know,
it doesn't look to be a very large city.
It's not a large city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is a really nice size. And so we went into the souk and basically, you know, I asked people if I could film and if I could talk to them and so on and so forth. We just kept being showered with gifts. We couldn't go to a stall without somebody wanting to give us something. I met a young chap called Mohammed who was selling incense on the street. So he was Saudi and he had a little stall. Now, the incense here, it looks like wood bark and it's proper. It's your, you know, frankincense and myrrh from the, yeah, from the time of the, yeah, it's pretty well that stuff. So it's the real deal. It's your proper three wise men smelly stuff that you put on the fire. Anyway, he was selling it. So I said, can I talk to you, Mohammed, about what you're doing? And he was just so charming. So first of all, he arranged his red and white headscarf so that he looked terribly, terribly handsome. So it was very high. And he was like, do I look all right? And I was like, you look great. And then he told me all about the incense. And basically he had two types. One for guests, which was very expensive, and one for at home when you just want to make your home smell nice and make yourself smell nice. Because what happens here is if you go to somebody's home or even yourself, you waft the incense around your clothes and your hair. Mm-hmm. So if you're a man, you might put it under your headscarf. And if you're a woman, you might put it under your abaya, you know, your robe. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he gave me this explanation. And then he said, no, stop. I must give you some. And he gave me absolutely loads, you know, of this lovely incense. And then when I got back to the campfire that night, I produced it. And we're all sitting there quite smelly, let's be honest. We've been on the road quite a long time. Clothes have not been changed that often. So we're all sitting around the campfire, rather smelly. We get the incense out. And then, honestly, the debates is like, we found a little cup. We burnt it. We put some embers on the cup, put the incense on top. And then everyone's wafting. And they're going to be, Alice, I've got my hair in two pigtails. Two plaits are going, Alice, yes, waft your hair. So I'm bending over this little cup of burning incense, wafting my pigtails over it. No, nothing burned. It was lucky. And then Shaya's like, Alice, we have to do your clothes. So you have this very bizarre picture of me in my, because I've got on a long dress and trousers underneath, of him kneeling in front of me, wafting this cup up inside my long dress, which did smell nice. So, I mean, it was great.
I see on the southern edge of Taif, there's the oldest tree in Saudi Arabia. Did you get to see that?
Oh, we missed it. Never mind. I'll come back and do that. We did do one thing, though, which I couldn't work it out. So we went to a new coffee bar because, you know, we always have to upload things. I had to write a blog. I had to upload stuff. We have to save all the Garmin tracks, save all the pictures, save all the filming. So we always spend it, if we're in a city, spend at least 2 hours in a coffee shop. So we got to this coffee shop. And it was really cool. It's called Hoshi. It was really, really cool. Went in and there were loads of girls in there.
Huh.
Well, and I mean, really loads. It was like about 15 young, all young looking Saudi women, all flitting mm-hmm. about, all taking what looked like Instagram influencer pictures. It was really odd. And then there was like about 5 men all looking a bit sheepish and kind of everybody was eyeing each other up. So I'm like, what's going on? I mean, is this, you know, what is this place? And I got talking to a couple of the girls. They were like, oh, no, we like to come here on a Friday. We all live locally. And these young women, love, gorgeous young women, they're all in their kind of early 20s, I'd say. And they were saying that they were all at university studying different subjects. Some of them could drive, some of them couldn't. And one of them said, it's not a matter of being able to drive, it's a matter of having a car, which frankly was very sensible. And it was just interesting to see how these young people spend their time. So their treat, their weekend treat, was to go to this very nice coffee house where I had a very delicious hot chocolate.
Well, describe the area you're in now. Is it in Hardpan, or is it sand, or?
Okay, so I'll describe rocks. To you exactly where I am now. I'm in the middle of what they call a Harra, which is a volcanic lava field on both sides. So in order to walk through this, because you cannot walk on the rocks, we're actually following a tarmac, an asphalt highway. But because we've stopped with the camels, so what I can see in front of me is actually quite a green area with small shrubby bushes with yellow flowers on that the camels love eating. So Juicy and Lulu have been filling their boots. Juicy's couched. She's sat down and eating. And Lulu's standing and eating. But they're quite happy. And then coming towards me is an entire flock of black goats. There's going to be a herdsman appearing with long... These black goats have all got the lovely long, long, long ears. Mm-hmm. So they're rushing towards me now, and a herdsman will come in. Earlier, we had a group of about 10 camels come and visit, and I have learned something new about camels.
What is there new to learn about camels?
Well, maybe lots of other people knew this, but we're walking with two female camels, and it's mainly female camels that you meet on the route because the male camels are kept separate or else, you know, from the herd. I mean, not always, but usually. So it's usually female camels coming in and they greet each other like dogs do. They sniff each other's bottoms. It's so weird. I mean, literally. So you've got all these camels, and I've taken some pictures, you've got all these camels kind of sniffing each other's bottoms. And then like putting, you know, when you see somebody tasting a good wine and they put their nose up in the air and kind of gargle. Very similar faces.
Yeah, horses do the same thing.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that. So oh, look, the herd has arrived in a truck and we've got a stampede of goats. And it's okay, here they come. Oh, Juicy's got up. Honestly, it's all happening out in the bled. So, yeah, so the countryside here is very flat, but we're about to go into kind of ups and downs, and it's this black, black volcanic rock. But really, the last few days, we've been walking through some very nice wadis. So a wadi is a big, wide river valley. Mm-hmm. Usually, there is no water in it. Sometimes when it rains, the water comes through, and then they're very dangerous. They're usually filled with acacia trees, you know, the thorn trees, and acacia bushes. And sometimes with other vegetation, we've had an awful lot of a plant here called Sodom's apple, apple of Sodom, have you heard of it? So it's a tall, it can grow taller than me. So there's kind of forests of it, and actually Juicy gets scared in them. And they're very, very poisonous plants. If you pick the leaf off, you get that white sap that burns your eyes like crazy. But they have an absolutely beautiful flower. It's purple and white. And looks kind of, it's like a bit like an orchid. But these are poisonous plants. So they're nobody can eat them. So we've been walking through a lot of those, and we've had some beautiful campsites, which what makes a beautiful campsite for us is a flat sandy bottom, not dirty sand, but white sand, food for the camels, so some of the shrubs that they like to eat, and then shade for the humans, because we all like to have our own tree or our own bush to relax underneath after lunch. So it's been interesting. So a lot of walking in the wadis with hills on either side often, or hills in the distance, which makes it interesting.
And historically, other than the wells, things you've seen and have piqued your interest?
Historically, we've been, I mean, especially today, actually, we've been passing on the route. You can see structures inland. So where are the stones? Because imagine kilometers and kilometers and kilometers of hard black stone, boulders, kind of all sorts of different sizes, from pebbles up to, you know, boulders, huge boulders. It's all that. But then you'll see where a stone structure has been erected within them. Kind of some, we think some Bronze Age, possibly temples, possibly funerary structures. We saw a fantastic in the desert. We could see from where we were walking up on one of the hills, there were three very distinct lines down this hill. So you imagine a hill that looks a bit like a jelly, you know, a flat top jelly in front of you. Mm-hmm. And there's three lines coming down it because it was covered in sand. So you could see the lines really carefully, easily. So we sent the drone up. And on top, it was fantastic. We sent the drone up, and on top of this hill were some big funerary monuments. So they are basically round circles where presumably the body's buried, and then these long tails going down. So they look a bit like comets. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we've seen quite a lot of Stone Age, Bronze Age structures. I can't say any more than structures because no clear indication what they are. But that's been the main thing that we've passed in this particular part of the journey.
So it sounds really, really interesting.
It's genuinely interesting. And I think, again, one of the beauties of this journey is just meeting the people. Day before yesterday, water's been a big issue trying to get enough of it. We had to fill up with water. So the cars have all got very large tanks underneath them, which you fill up with. And also we need to water the camels, who can drink up to 100 litres each a day. Mm-hmm. If they're really thirsty. So whenever you pass a shepherd's encampment, you ask for water. But we got to the shepherd's encampment, which typically will have some camels in an enclosure, some young ones. Typically we'll have some goats or some sheep, and then be like some kind of structure, either a tent or a caravan or a shed made of corrugated iron for the shepherd, and then, you know, some troughs for water, places to keep the hay, etc. So that would be a very typical encampment. We approached this one. It was quite big, actually, on both sides of the track. And there was nobody there, but there was a water lorry. So people bring their water to their encampments by lorry. And we saw those filling up at the traditional wells that we passed. So the water lorry was there. So we just started filling up all our car, our water carriers, the camels were drinking with this person's water. There's nobody there. And then we see a chap arriving from the other side of the road. And I'm like, it's a bit much, really. We haven't asked his permission. And we're not only like giving the camels a drink, we're filling great big vats of our own. So Shia went running up and said, we're really sorry. Is it okay with you if you fill up with water? Is this okay? And he went, okay, he said, take more water. Take as much water as you need. You're very welcome. Have anything you want. Come, will you have coffee with me? Please come and have coffee with me. And it's that reaction or some form of that reaction that we get over and over and over again. It's irresistibly wonderful to be in a place where you are made to feel welcome at every step.
That is fantastic. Another example of that hospitality you speak so much about.
The reason I speak about it so much is because it's just here and it's so kind. You know, my impression of this area, this is quite a hard, tough area. It's not a rich area. This is in the olden days, it was completely Bedouin. Now the Bedouin lives in villages, but they still have herders with them, often from Yemen or the Sudan. So this is an area where, you know, you're close to nature and nature is pretty harsh and people just help each other. That honestly is my impression. People, the question they ask is, how can I help you?
Yeah. But it looks like they have to help each other, or that's the toughest. That's the poorest, hardest part of Saudi Arabia, isn't it?
I imagine so. I mean, I don't want to make judgments on, you know, things that I don't truly understand how everything works. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people here, Saudis are not poor, but not everybody is rich. I think that's a very big misapprehension. You know, right. I think that is a big stereotype that just isn't true. And here, of course, I mean, the herds people, as I say, often are from Yemen or from Sudan. And they're working to earn money to send home, and then they'll go home and build their own businesses and live their lives again back over there.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of paging around the country in the area that you're in. I'm watching and looking along with Google Maps here, just looking at it. That looks like pretty tough country.
It is tough country, but tough, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that tough country produces this kind of attitude of mm-hmm. of help. And it is part of Islam. There is no getting away from it. But part of Islam is helping, is hospitality, is sharing and helping others if you possibly can. So I think it's very much that idea of, I've talked about before, of community being the most important thing. So therefore you look to your community, you try and share with your community rather than the individual being the most important thing.
Well,
I can't imagine a scenario here where if there were one orange left, anyone would take it instead of giving it to their neighbor. I can't imagine that scenario, because even when you're eating here, people are so, you eat from the same bowl with your hands, but you stay in your lane and then you push more food towards the person beside you. That's the polite thing to do, because people are, even when you're hungry, it'd be inconceivable that you'd eat more than the person beside you.
Well, no. In comparison to Saudi Arabian hospitality and generousness, my skin-flinted heart, who will not pay for Zoom Pro, just got a pop-up and said, this meeting will end in 9 minutes. So
we've had that's our clue.
So is there anything else you need to tell us now before we get back to it?
I think just to say, I'll keep everyone updated, you know, have a look at my Instagram, X, YouTube, they're all Alice Out There One. I'll be writing a blog next week. So we'll keep you updated on the camel situation. It's lovely to talk to you, and I'm sorry if it's a bit tinny, but it is quite challenging.
We take the time that we can, and it is hard being out there, so we'll use, but it's fine. That's fine. I'll see if I can't tweak it in post, as they say.
Oh, that would be great. And also just to say, you know, if you want more information on Saudi, have a look at visitsaudi.com. Remember that Intrepid Travel do Saudi trips, and in fact, they do one to Asir, where we're going to be entering maybe by the time we speak to you next. Oh, okay. And Vic, I have huge news. Guess what?
What's that?
I've got a Wikipedia page.
Oh, I'll have to go take a look.
Yeah,
I'll put a link in the way. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, thank you to Harry Curell, who put it up for me, which is very kind of him.
You've joined the rarefied atmosphere of those with,
I have.
With a Wikipedia entry. Okay.
I now exist.
All right, Alice. On that note,
all right,
in your existence, we'll speak to you in 2 weeks.
Speak to them. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.